they told me there that that he had been adopted twice before and returned twice before.
My mother actually self-published a book about their RV experience called The Great Affair.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Stoop Storytelling Series podcast. I'm Laura Wexler.
And I'm Jessica Henkin.
This week on the podcast, Sue Me, two stories about people pleading their cases.
So this first storyteller, I'm just going to say he goes by Mark because he is a teacher. Yeah. At City.
Yes. An award-winning teacher, yeah. In fact.
A well-loved, award-winning teacher.
I love this story. Yeah. Take a listen, y'all.
So when I moved to Baltimore about 7 years ago, one of my first adult decisions post-college was buying a dog, getting a dog. And it was something that I spent a lot of time thinking about and choosing the dog, going to SPCA. I went several times, and I wanted to get an adult dog because they have a harder time finding homes. And I finally found this dog who looked really old in the cage, but he wasn't. He was only a year and a half old. He always put his hand up through the grill whenever I walked by, so I decided to take him home. And he was a year and a half old, and they told me there that that he had been adopted twice before and returned twice before. But I decided to take him anyway, and I took him home, and I as an English teacher would, I named him after a literary character also finding his place in the world, and so Holden and I have been having. We've been having a good life together. We learned how to walk without pulling too hard on the leash. We learned how not to chase the cats. We learned how not to growl too much when the mailman came and things like that. But I had him about a year, and I was helping somebody move down the other part of Baltimore. And my roommate, who was a little bit of a pothead, he woke up one morning to banging out back, and he kind of in his state, he kind of came down and he opened the back door to some yelling, and he held onto his dog, but my dog scooted in between his legs and got out and chased the garbage man who was in our backyard away, and the garbage man, he tried to jump the fence and he tore his pants. And he ended up calling the police. And the police came, and all this unbeknownst to me, I did not have my cell phone on me. So I came back that evening to find this really long story, and I didn't really know much of it, but I just knew that the police were called because the dog had chased this garbage man away. But about 6 months later, I was served papers. I was being sued for $10,000 by this garbage man. And I was really thrown for a loop. I didn't know what to do. The first thing I did was Google this man, and I shouldn't give his name, but he appeared on this blog called RebuildingMadison.com, which is a blog that this man set up in kind of Bolton Hill area where he was documenting all the comings and goings in his neighborhood. And this man who was suing me was a slumlord. And his picture was on this blog all over the place, and he actually owed the city like 20 grand in back taxes and fines, and had been arrested several times, and he I thought right away that this man's just trying to make some money from me, and I didn't know what else to do other than just kind of, I just kept getting this paperwork in and just kind of like doing what it asked me to do. I tried to get a lawyer, but it would cost like $1,500. I didn't want to do that, and I couldn't really afford it. So I just kind of like kept going with it. They would send me these questions, and I would answer them. And this one friend from college who ended up being a lawyer, I told him what I was doing. He said, "Oh, you just gave him your whole case. You're going to lose." And I was really, you know, worried. But I didn't really know what else to do. I didn't want to get a lawyer or anything. And I decided to just let it ride out. Because I knew the truth was on my side. This man, he said he had head injuries. And I had doctor's reports that didn't have any of that done. So I was like, I'm just going to see what happens. So it actually went to trial. Okay, so I had to go to trial. And complicating matters a little bit, not only not having a lawyer, but I also just had some major eye surgery. So I had to wear some sunglasses. And so I went into to this trial. I was about 25 years old, and I just out of college, no money at all. Just living paycheck to paycheck at this point as a public school teacher here in Baltimore. And I just was asking myself questions and answering them, kind of like back and forth like this. And this, it turns out this man who said he had head injuries, he was really talking about mental problems and now he's scared of dogs. And he just kind of got tripped up in his story because he was lying. And it ended up, I actually won the case without a lawyer. And that was, it turned out because it was a roommate who let him out, not me. He was not acting as my agent. So that was a technicality right there. But I won the case, and Holden is now 8 years old. And he will be at home tonight. He has not been out since around 8 a.m. this morning. But he will be greeting me just with tail wags, and he is... It's a good old dog right now, but that was his early adventure with me getting served for 10 grand for him.
I love just his genuine belief that justice would be served. No lawyer, no nothing, just filled with the conviction that he was not guilty and his dog was... not
Holden.
At fault.
Holden was not at fault.
Holden. I feel like he shouldn't have any shame about this story in terms of not wanting his students to know.
Well, it's more that I don't know how to pronounce his last name.
Oh, okay. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break before our next story. This next story, I have to admit, I had not listened to it since we had him on the show, which has been... a while, more than a decade.
We are
old. My Lord, it is funny.
It is so funny.
Yeah. It's like a setup for a movie. Yeah, before we just talk about it endlessly and you don't know what we're talking about, take a listen.
This is from Andy Levy.
My story actually begins, I guess, like most good stories, with my family and with my parents, who, after they had both retired from the federal government, they became active RVers. What Jews are doing driving an RV, I'm not exactly sure. But they did it, and they were very into it. In fact, I brought along today, my mother actually self-published a book about their RV experience called The Great Affair, after a Kipling quote. And they had gone to most states, and they had even gone down to Mexico. But their dream, or sort of was to drive the Great Alaskan Highway from Washington State up through Canada to Alaska. And as part of that, they had always had a fairly small RV that was on a. I don't know what kind of chassis it was on, but they got a deal from a retailer in Clinton, Maryland, down in Prince George's County, on a much bigger rig called a RevCon, which was always referred to as the Cadillac of RVs. I'll just always remember that phrase. So they set off on this, and this is all by way of preface to what my real story is. And they had their Australian Shepherd dog Cactus with them, and the trip was a disaster. This RevCon broke down constantly, and so much so that they actually never made it to Alaska, and they had to come back early. There's a whole chapter about this in the book. So they are fit to be tied. They're very upset. They come back. What do? They get their son, who works at the fancy law firm in Baltimore, to write an angry letter to the retailer, saying if we demand satisfaction, and if not, we're going to sue you. We don't get satisfaction, so what then do we have to do? We actually have to bring this lawsuit. So, and many of you probably, for family members, been in the same position. I don't remember a whole lot about the immediate aftermath of that. What I do remember is that the case did not settle and got scheduled for trial. Scheduled for a jury trial. And one day, and if, by the way, if you don't believe this, the trial judge is in the audience. Judge Ahalt, who I didn't expect to be here today. So I don't know if you have the same fond memories of that week that I do. But here I am, been in out 5 years, 6 years. So this is, I think, 1987. I'm picking a jury for my parents. Now, you know, one of the things that a lawyer learns is managing client expectations. Well, if you were writing a story of my relationship with my parents, the title would probably be Managing Expectations. And I have repressed most of the experience of that week. But, I mean, literally, I mean, I can't even convey to you the misery of that week. And Judge, you know, I've put most of it past, but you didn't make it any easier. So I'm trying to be very cool about this. And I'm, you know, I get very nervous. Even to this day, I get very nervous before any presentation. I mean, you know, I'm humiliation averse. And, you know, you're always worried you're going to screw up. But I was, you know, I'm going to be very cool about this. I'm going to, but I can't let the jury know that these are my parents. I mean, this has to be like an arm's length sort of thing. So my father was not, this is true. My father was not on the witness stand 5 minutes before I referred to him as dad. So, any event, it is, you know, I don't know how we're doing on time here. It is, of course, an article of faith that, you know, surgeons should not operate on a family member. Trust me, you should not represent your parents in a jury trial. It's really anxiety-provoking enough. It did, like most miserable experience in life, with the passage of time, it did. I do have lots of great stories about that week, Judge. I don't know if you do, but mine are all about you. This was both a trial and a tribulation. I love them. My father has since passed on. My mother is still alive. This was the greatest thing in the world for them. I mean, this was like seeing their boy. You know, I mean, really picking a jury, opening, you know, and we had, I mean, it was really, really something. But I survived. They survived. We ended up, I guess I should tell you, I won. As a result, I have been welcome at all the subsequent Thanksgiving dinners. Ended up with a worthless, uncollectible judgment, but that's a different story. And so that really, this is a story that when trial lawyers, first of all, you know I won because no trial lawyer tells a story about a trial they lost. I mean, but when trial lawyers, you know, tell stories, I really just, when I say I once did a jury trial for my parents, there's like sort of a stunned silence. So, anyway, thank you very much.
We should tell you now at this point, after you've learned that Andy Levy represented his parents, that he's widely regarded as one of Maryland's premier trial and appellate lawyers. So for him to take a case with his parents and their RV.
It's so good. And I love that the judge was in the audience the night that he shared this. And I did make him a little nervous.
Yeah. Thanks for listening today and joining us for this episode. You can visit us at stoopstorytelling.com. To learn more about our shows and what we do and listen to stories, you can find us on social media. We want to thank Maureen Harvey for producing the podcast. She's never threatened to sue us.
Not yet.
Not yet. We'll see you back soon with more stories from The Stoop.